Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Friday for us, Breakthrough Academy. Looking forward to a good time today. We're excited to see what God does, how He'll move today, and just what we'll see come from today. So we are expectant. We're looking forward to what God's going to do.
Amen. It's going to be a Holy Spirit time, Holy Spirit led. This is His Word.
Yeah.
When we look into the mirror, we need the Holy Spirit. It's not even a good idea to have the Holy Spirit. You need Him.
You need.
Because it's His Word. All Scripture is God breathed. He's the one that's inspired it.
Yes.
He's the one that gives us the revelation. He gives it the empowerment in us. So it's so good. So I love the fact we've got Judith.
Yes, good morning.
One of our regulars on YouTube, she says, I'll start with Facebook and see how I go. Living on the edge. I like to see people, you know, taking life on. So I'm going to
think YouTube has a slightly better reputation, perhaps.
Yeah.
But see what happens. Morning, Joe and Sheba, already ready. We love all of our regulars. Like, you know, I'll never stop saying that because that's truly what we believe, that you guys are here. You're not just supporting us, as we say, you are the ones, well, you are supporting us, but you are the hungry ones.
Yeah.
I understand and appreciate, not everyone can be here. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. And to those that are watching in the future, we love that you're watching and that you are also hungry.
Yeah.
But those that can be here live, we love it because we like to talk to people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things Josh brought out, that word hunger. As I've been, you know, sort of more teaching through Breakthrough Academy, one of the things God told me is teach the hungry.
Mm.
Teach the hungry, all right? To teach, in other words, pitch where I'm aiming at those that are hungry. Because, you know, as a teacher, you've got to work with different places and different people and different circumstances, and you've got different time frames you can use and different levels you can go. And I was like, you know, Lord, what is Breakthrough Academy? And he said, Breakthrough Academy is for the hungry.
Mm.
So you share for those who are hungry to get it.
Yeah.
Hungry to sort of not just get a surface thing, but push through, get the depth of it. Also, and when we say depth, we get the heart of what God's saying, and that means pushing into some uncomfortable places at times because we're hungry for all that God has, not just the nice stuff on the surface, hungry for all that
That's
He has
good.
For us.
Yeah.
We're hungry to grow and learn and to apply this to our souls and to see this at work. So I appreciate you joining us, and if you're hungry for the Word, you've come to the right place.
So good. Morning, Brooke.
Good morning, Brooke, and others. Jay's not with us again. He was planned to be here. He's had a rough night with his foot. We're just praying and believing. As the more he's using it, we're just believing for a peace to come on.
Yeah.
He was on it a fair bit, which is good. He's meant to be using it, but it's obviously going through the processes of being used and joints and ligaments being stretched and used for the first time. So we're praying that would be a healthy process for him. But he was up with that during the night, so he hasn't been able to join us today. But we're praying for him, believing for him. The mirror says that he is healed and whole, and we believe in that. So let's jump straight in. For the hungry that are here and ready to go, let's launch.
Let's do it.
Because we're doing Mirror, Mirror. We're looking at the what God says about us, and what we're doing is the big picture.
Yeah.
What God's plan is for mankind, and because if we find God's plan for mankind, we find the plan for us. Find the plan for us, we can embrace it and run with it and not be running across purposes. I was actually talking to Jay yesterday. He's just started teaching at Swinburne, which is really exciting for him. On Mondays, he's been asked to go and teach a class. It's pretty amazing. One year ago, he was learning, and now they're asking him to teach, which is a pretty good sort of reflection of where, you know, what God's blessing him with and the favor that's on him.
Yeah.
And but he's talking about his next class, and he says, oh, it's pretty boring. You know, like the stuff he's been given, the second half of the semester, it gets more exciting because it's more hands-on. The first part is a lot of the theory and the practical stuff. You've got to, learn about copyright because he's teaching media, sports media. So you've got to learn about copyright issues. You've got to learn about trademark issues. So a lot of legal jargon, a lot of stuff, you know, which is like, but you've got to learn it because if you're going to do it right, it's important even though it's not the fun stuff. So he's got some of these unfun stuff. And we're talking about this principle that one of the big things to teach is that when you get sent out to do a project, you've got to find out the parameters and the boundaries effectively of what the project is about.
Yeah.
Because it's too easy to get in, give you all, produce something to find it's not exactly what they wanted. You know, and
criteria doesn't cover this.
No, it's like, oh, that's really good, but we don't want photos of that. No, we only wanted this, or but where are the photos of this? Well, you didn't ask for that. Well, we meant it, but we might not have conveyed yeah. it. So when they say, oh, you know, I'll come and do a, we want advertising for our sports club, and they say that, and you go and you provide some great videos and media footage and photographs of, and you say, these would be great. And they say, no, we particularly, we're targeting this audience, you know, like, you know, our juniors, we need more juniors in our club. So we wanted photos of young kids playing. We wanted the photo, and our girls competition is growing. So we want photos of the young girls playing. Well, we didn't tell me that. So I've got photos of old men with beards, you know, they're doing a great job. But it's like, but that's not, we don't want to advertise that. We want to advertise this.
Yeah.
So you get one of the key skills he has to teach is, hey, when you get a project, you need to understand it. What is desired? What's this, you know, what's yeah. the parameters? Well, that's a sort of good truth for life, isn't it? You can run around spinning a lot of wheels, doing a lot of, putting out a lot of energy, and God's like, what are you doing?
You can be doing good things.
Yeah.
It's like, what's that?
Yeah, but it's like, that's not what I wanted you to be doing. That's not what, you know, you're just presuming something. And so, and I'm a big one on this, you know, Book of Matthew, Jesus said, the Gentiles go to prayer this way, because they presume that God will yes. hear them for their many words. They presume, they think, you know, if we do this, this will get God's attention. Yep. And God's like, that doesn't get my attention at all. I'm not interested in that in the slightest. And you know, and yet they think that if I can just get that happening, we're gonna nail this. And so people give a lot of attention to the stuff that doesn't matter to God. But the shame is, and the tragedy is when we think it does matter to God, and we're doing it for the purpose of pleasing Him. And so that's why the Bible tells us, learn and find out and seek to find out what pleases God.
Yeah.
Make that your goal. You got to work out. And if it was easy, we wouldn't have to be told to do it. Do you know what I mean? If it just happened. You know, it's some people sort of think, I'm God's kid, so anything I will please Him. It's a little like our children, you know, anything we do. But God also expects us not to be just the babies and the children in the kingdom, but actually be sons,
yeah,
acting responsibly. Good. And sons, He does have expectations. You know, everything a toddler does is cute, except when, you know, they're sort of, you know, eating dog food. No, we can't do that. You know, wants to drink out of the dog bowl. No, we don't do that. So, you know, it's cute and it's funny, but we just sort of, you know, make allowances for it. And we actually put up fences and put them in playpens to stop them from hurting themselves and stop them getting involved in things they shouldn't. But as they get older, you take the playpens away and you don't want them drinking out of the dog bowl still. You're like, what are you doing, you idiot? You're 16 years old. Stop eating the dog food. Do you understand? And I think there's that part. God expects us to learn what pleases Him.
Yeah.
Not just live a life that, if I'm doing it, He'll be happy. Yeah.
And how awesome is it that none of us have ever done that? We've never done that.
No, God's just always, everything we've done.
No, but I appreciate, you know, God is great. He's merciful. And we here, like we said at the start, we are hungry to please God. And so when your goal... Your innermost desire is to please God. I think He works with that.
He does. If you make that your aim, learning to please Him, and that's why, praise God, mirror, mirror. We look into here, we find out what it is He wants, what is His plan for us, what His desires for us, so I can make adjustments. And then we prune ourselves with it so we can make ourselves more fruitful. Fruitful just literally means pleasing Him more and more effective.
Effective
in pleasing Him.
That's good.
And the Word of God says, you know, when Jesus said, you're already pruned by the words that I've spoken to you. All right, you've already been, the things I've spoken to you have done a pruning process. So we go into the Word of God, it prunes away the stuff. Oh, this is good fun, but doesn't please Him. So I don't want to do this. This is really effective. Cut right back down here, and then you get the fruit that comes from it. It's amazing, but you know, that's a skill. So we are.
This is a process that's always. It's always happening.
Yeah.
You're always. So it's like, you know, I've been pruned.
Done.
Not quite. Yeah. We're always going, you know, glory to glory, level to level, pruning.
Yeah, because isn't that what Jesus said? He said, the Father. Oh, let's actually just look at it, Josh.
Because we're hungry, and that's what we do in Academy.
And I just want to quote it correctly.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I want to make sure.
do it justice.
Yeah, I want to make sure I get. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He takes away every branch that does not bear fruit in me. He prunes every branch that bears fruit.
Yep.
So if you bear fruit, he'll prune you.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec. Shouldn't we be?
How does that work?
Shouldn't we get the branch that's bearing fruit and protect it and say that's the one? That's the, he says, oh, it's bearing fruit. Let's cut it back.
Yeah.
What? So,
give it room.
Bear fruit so that it will bear more fruit.
Yeah.
So even if you are, this is not cutting away stuff that is unfruitful.
Mm.
You know, it does include that. It prunes every branch that does not bear fruit. But he said, even when you are fruitful, he'll prune you so that you become more fruitful. So the mirror helps us with that. It's the pruning process. It helps us understand his purpose, understand his plans, trim away, clean
God's
away.
All about increase,
yeah,
and more.
So we've been taking the last few weeks to do the mirror of God's big plan, the overarching plan, because yeah, when we understand the plan, we learn our part and our role. And so we've been looking at something that it has been a bit of been a revelation to me from Psalm 2, when Jesus said, you know, I asked the Father for my inheritance, which is the nations. This is after, so when Jesus was on the earth, he went to the cross, he was raised from the dead, but in that process, he actually asked the Father for his inheritance from the Father's hand. It was the Father's to give.
Yeah.
But he gave it to Jesus, and that was the nations, the ends of the earth, for his inheritance and for the people from all around to be his inheritance. And then we looked at Revelation, where he comes to the Father, and he's got people from every tribe and every tongue. And
that's awesome.
There's something actually. Let's see if we can find it. Let's go straight to Revelation chapter 1. This mirror. Okay, you're saying, looking at it and saying, God, what's your picture? Because this is what you'll see of me. This is what you aim. When people say, it used to be a big thing. I don't hear it so much nowadays, but it used to be in the body of Christ, people saw themselves in a way that they were saying, oh, this makes me humble. So they'll speak about themselves, not true biblical humility, but in actually just pushing themselves down. I'm a worm. I'm a nothing.
False humility.
Yeah, it's a false sort of sense of humility where you sort of push yourself down. I'm nothing. Who am I? I'm just a, you know. What part do you play in the body? Well, I think I'm like the little bit of nail on
the end. That's just putting yourself down.
Yeah, and it's like I'm just a little bit of dried skin on the end of a toe. That's all I am. And it's the people that, how humble. And God's like, what? You have a little dried skin, you do nothing. I'm going to prune that, make you effective. Yeah. I want you to be a hand. I want you to be an eye.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be a nothing.
Mm.
And but this false sense of humility where we pushed ourselves down, that doesn't please God, because mirror wants us to he wants to show us who we are. And so Revelation chapter 1, let's read from verse 5 to the halfway through. To the one who loves us and has set us free from our sins at the cost of his own blood, and has appointed us as a kingdom, as priests, serving his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. All right. This is all about what Jesus has done.
Mm.
He has appointed us as a kingdom and as priests serving his God. Let's just let that settle in for a second.
That's a bit more than a bit of broken skin.
Yeah.
On the end of a toe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think chapter 5, let's see, I think verse 12. I'm doing it from memory. Always dangerous.
You've never said a scripture and then
Read 10.
It and it hasn't matched up.
Yeah.
It's never happened.
It's a roundabout tell. Verse... All right, let's take 9. And this is where we're talking about. You know, this is what his plan is.
Yeah.
This is what's always been on his heart. He's been excited because they were singing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals, because you were killed, and at the cost of your own blood, you have purchased for God. You have purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, people, and nation. You have appointed them as a kingdom and priests to serve our God.
That's good.
And they will reign on the earth.
Yep.
All right? Kingdom, priests, ruling and reigning. This is his plan. So he's got this is what I needed to do. He needed to do the purchasing. It came from God, because it says that it was his inheritance to give. All the peoples on the earth were God's, but he's now given Jesus this access to the ends of the earth. And now Jesus sent out his followers. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations, all the people groups, everybody. Bring them in, train them and equip them to be my followers.
Yeah.
And this is my appointment. I'm going to make them priests and a kingdom. Mm. All right. So I just want us to go back, and we've got a couple of Brooks joined us. Good morning, Brooke. I'd say good morning to Brooke already, but Christine has joined us.
Good morning, my wife,
Christine. And I see others are watching online as well. So shout out to you. If you say hi to us in the comments, we can actually mention you by name.
We'll call you out.
Yeah, but it's good to have. We love the fact that you're watching.
Yeah.
All right. I want us to go back a step. All right, because we're talking big picture. Yep. How do we get to this? How do we know? What was his plan? What was God's plan? I want us to start with Genesis, place where we begin. 15? Okay. So God's already had dealings with Abraham, or as he's called here still, Abraham.
Yep.
And he's brought him out. Genesis 12 says, I want you to leave your father's house, come here, and I'm going to bless you.
Yep.
And I make you a blessing to all the nations. And so, you know, so he's already speaking and dealing with him with sort of covenant talk.
Yeah.
But in chapter 15, it actually says,
somewhere in chapter 15, it says,
it actually uses the word covenant, and I just want to use the actual word. I will open up my Bible where it's all scribbled on and not scribbled on. I take that back. It's all marked and clear. Now verse 18. I didn't go far enough.
Everything precise and where it should be.
That day, the Lord Yahweh made a covenant with Abraham. Mm. That day.
Yeah.
So he did a ceremony where he actually made a covenant with Abraham. Very different, very similar to covenants that men made, but very different. The one difference is, and we study this when we teach on covenant. If you're not familiar with our teaching on covenant, if you haven't been a part of the academy, when we went through covenant, we did a whole season on covenant.
Mm.
Go back and we take it from the ground up, explain what a covenant is, explain why this is different. But at this, I'm just pointing out the moment.
That was a good series. So go and watch that. That was...
Revelation series is a good understanding of, because that's how God deals with the earth. You know, he deals with, who was I listening to? It might have been Keith Moore. And he was talking about insurance, you know, like as an example.
Yeah.
An example of people, you know, you don't go to an insurance agent and say, I need this if you haven't got a policy with them.
Yeah, you
know,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You say, oh, you know, I've got some water damage in my house. Yeah. You know, can you fix it? And they say, what's your policy number? Policy number? Like, I haven't got a policy with you.
We don't deal with you, sorry.
Yeah, it's like, we don't deal with you. And he said, so, like, you know, policy, where's your agreement? You know,
yeah.
where's your contract?
Yeah.
And all the rest. That's how you make a contract with them. Well, in Bible terms, it's not policy, it's not agreement, it's not contract, it's covenant. Mm. That's how God makes connection, and that covenant connection then gives him the access and you the access to do things, all right? So the same way, but you know, to turn covenant into a policy, it misses a whole lot of what covenant is, but it's a small part.
Mm.
It gives you look at it from one angle, it helps.
It's like the kingdom of God is like.
Yeah.
But it's not that.
It's not that, but it's like that. It helps you. If you look at it from all those perspectives, put it together. So the covenant is like an insurance policy, all right? But it's not an insurance policy. But it's got that element where you make this connection. You can make this, you to join together, and it gives an access for each party to work and move. So if God made this covenant with Abraham, it was like other covenants that people made between men and men and kingdom and kingdoms and things like that. But this was different, because as soon as Abraham had to have a part in it, God put him to sleep. Very different covenant. You don't, two covenants, you know, it's like, I'm going to sign this contract with you, Josh, and as you pick up the pen, I put you to sleep.
That's right.
Then I come and grab your pen and sign for you.
It's normally like, an agreement, but yeah, it's like, I'll just do this.
I'll sign, you know, so God said, I sign both sides. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. How can you make, well, because Josh will mess up this covenant. if he signs, he's going to, we're going to, it's going to immediately, he's going to bring, you know, like just like a contract has conditions, and if you do this and it'll void. So Josh will void the covenant, the contract, if he signs, because he'll do things which will void it. So God says, I'm going to make a contract, but I'll get Jesus to sign it so he doesn't void it.
That's good. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. You know, Jesus entered in and became the mediator of that covenant, became the assurance of the covenant. He made sure that it wouldn't be voided. So praise God for that. So this is all Abraham entering in. So this is Genesis 15. What enabled God? What was it, the trigger point that caused God to be able to say, let's enter into this covenant? Abraham, what, you know, Abraham was obedient. He'd left his own father's house. God called him. He was blessed and things like that. But what was it that triggered this point? And it goes back to something that happened effectively when, as a response to a question that Abraham asked. He says, after these things, the Lord's message came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield. I'm the one who will reward you in great abundance. But Abraham said, oh, sovereign Lord, what will you give me since I continue to be childless and my heir is Eliezer of Damascus? So you're talking about a blessing to my future generations, to my seed. My seed's blessed, but I don't have any. My wife and I haven't had children, can't have children, and the rules of inheritance move to the next highest point. So it's just someone in my household has my inheritance.
Maybe the highest servant.
Servant, yeah. It would probably be something. It'd probably be the steward of his house.
Yeah.
Would become effectively the inheritance. And he says, oh, this is great, God, but. Would be much better if it was actually to my seed, not just to someone. And Abraham added, since you have not given me a descendant, then look, one born in my house will be my heir. But look, the Lord's message came to him, this man will not be your heir, but instead a son who comes from your own body will be your heir. And the Lord took him outside and said, gaze into the sky and count the stars, if you're able to count them. Then he said, so your descendants will be. Oh, God's a visual learner.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, maybe God's a visual teacher. You know, up there, look, see all those stars? Can you count them? Not really, you know what I mean?
So will your descendants.
And,
so
you won't be able to count your descendants. Like, they would just be spread everywhere. You have, what? And not from an heir in your home, but from your own body. So next thing is the verse that foundational for the Bible, foundational for the New Testament. Paul said this is the key. He says, Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord credited it as righteousness to him.
That's the father of faith.
Yep, that's you know, you go to Romans chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6 to see all this outworked.
Yeah.
But Romans 4 particularly has this great teaching on this. And I think it's Romans 4. I'm speaking like, oh, I know all my, you know. If you don't I do not... when I understand things, I understand, see them in truths. Yes, Romans 4. I see them in truths, not as in facts. So So I see them where they're connected.
Good.
But the numbers don't always make much difference to me. My brain says, I see it in relation to what Paul's been teaching and what he will teach, but the actual numbers, they're just sort of extra. So that's why often I'll say things, because I see them in conceptual ways, and I've just had to learn to flow with that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd hear preachers and teachers who, you know, they could quote scriptures and things from, you know, in this verse, and I'm like, I can't remember what the chapter is, and what book, but I can remember the verse, and I can remember the concept, but I often can't even quote it exactly, because I'll be quoting it a mixture of Hebrew and a bit of English. And you
know, I touched on it, I said it as a bit of a joke, I'm not saying it's completely true of you, but like, you know the Bible so well, that you're putting all of this stuff together, and it's like, taking a bit from here, all like these things that are good.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm not entirely sure if I'm getting it from here or from here.
Yeah.
But I know it's there.
Yeah, is it from this bit or from this bit? I hear it. I know it's in there.
Yeah.
And it's just drawing it together. So I do apologize. Sometimes I'll make this
and
then I'll check back. So Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord credited his righteousness. And this whole concept credited in the New Testament. This is a Hebrew word here, obviously, but in the New Testament, it's you know, such a critical word for what we use and do. But Abraham believed the Lord. And Paul said, this is the moment. This is the moment. And he talks, and he said, the key here is circumcision, which we talked about last week. Circumcision was not given to the Jews until later on. All right? Chapter 17, the Lord says, you're going to be circumcised. Paul bases his New Testament teaching on the fact that chapter 15 comes before chapter 17. He said, you know what? If chapter 17 came first, then my teaching would be all different.
The numbers don't lie.
The numbers, he said, but God made him righteous before he was even circumcised.
Yeah.
He said circumcision is a sign given to show what God's done, not what causes what God's done. It's the faith that made Abraham righteous, not his circumcision. All right, and he said that's the critical issue here.
Mm.
Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited him as righteousness. Then out of that, so Abraham made this connection of faith. All right, and let's just have a look at this word believed. So what we'll do is we'll just... I'm looking at some other translations here because I want to just get the Greek word. The Hebrew word, aman. Okay, can we see that? Aman, a verb meaning to be firm, to build up, to support, to nurture, to establish. The primary meaning is that of providing stability and confidence, like a baby would find in the arms of a parent. It's used to signify support of a pillar, nurture and nourishment, thus a nurse, cradling in one's arms, a house firmly founded, a secure nail that finds a solid place to grip, a lasting permanence with a negative participle. Metaphorically, the word conveys the notion of faithfulness and trustworthiness, not just faith, but faithfulness, trustworthiness, such that one could fully depend on.
Mm.
Therefore, the word can also signify certitude or assurance, belief in the sense of receiving something as true or sure. In other words, it's connected with not just the I believe, but it's the I can believe because you are totally faithful.
Mm.
Do you know? You're totally
That's
believable.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Abraham said, God is totally reliable and I rely upon him totally.
Yeah. There is no reason or cause for me to doubt you or ever doubt you or ever even conceive or think of the possibility.
Yep. I'm all in and it's based on who you are. All right. It's like you're reliable. I actually said it then. I thought someone should go back and read. You are totally reliable, so I rely on you totally.
Mm, right? Yeah.
That's mine.
That's good.
I want to copyright that. You're totally reliable, so I rely on you totally is what Abraham did in
that's
that moment.
That's good.
He suddenly looked at God and said, you know, God, because God had just told him something which was impossible.
Mm.
Totally impossible.
Yeah.
He said, oh, your family's going to be like the stars. You can't even count them. And he's like, well, we've been trying and we've had no children. Not for lack of effort, it's not happening.
Mm.
I know it's impossible.
Yep.
And you would have thought that at that moment, all good. God, you know, he would have a baby the next day. But when Abraham had started this journey in chapter 12, it says Abraham was 75 years of age. That's Roman, you know. Well,
there you go, Pastor. It's now said in a comment. But hasn't quoted your name though, so
that's all right. Yeah, he sort of the Holy Spirit's like, and you really want your name to that? Is that right? No, don't need it. Don't need that. So let's just, you know, Genesis.
That's like your earthly reward.
yeah, I get it. That's it. Got it. 12:4. So Abraham was 75 years old when he had departed from Haran, and so he gets these promises, and then by chapter 16, which is after chapter 15, so we're in 15, God made his covenant.
Works for Paul, works for us.
And then at chapter 16, he's had this promise, but he's obviously had it for a little while, and... Sarai's his wife had not given birth to any children. And so he's like, oh, you know, this is, God, I thought this would have happened. We're in covenant and all the rest. And verse 3, it talks about how old he was when this happened. Verse 16. Now, Abraham was 86 old when Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. All right, so 75. So I reckon, you know, 75, 76, he gets the promise. 10 years later, he's like, and? Well, we better do something ourselves.
We better make this happen.
And then by the time Ishmael's about 13, God gives a promise in, and he's 99. By this stage, he's 99, 100. His wife's old. That's in chapter 17.
Yeah.
So, if you want the verses of that, we might as well do that. Chapter 17, verse 1, nice and easy. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. All right, so it gives a little timeline there.
Yeah.
So he's got this covenant promise, he's got this connection, and then he's still got to go through this process of El Shaddai appearing to him.
Mm.
And that's the point where God gives him covenant of,
yep.
through sign through circumcision. But I just want you to go back, chapter 15, verse 6, this key moment here. Before all that had happened, Abraham believed the Lord and God credited, did something to him. It
That's
changed
good.
Something to him.
Yep.
It was an exchange. Yep. Your faith has enabled me to now work and connect with you.
That's good. Yeah.
This is something which I find fascinating. This word for believe, we took a little bit of time to look at it. Let's just look at it again. Because I want to show you something. This is the word study, which is the definition of it. That's all good. But I want to go down to the King James definition of it because it shows you every time it's used. Okay, so we're going to go to there. So this is, it just means believed. How many times, Josh, can you tell me how many times this word appears?
110. Am I looking at the right number there?
Yes, you're right. 110 it appears. 21 times it's translated believed. 20 times faithful,
mm-hmm.
20 times, 19 times believe,
sure,
11, established, 7, brought, 5, believeth, 4, good old King James,
mm-hmm.
trust, 4, verified, 3, continuance, 2, nurse, 2, remember it's sort of like as a child,
yeah.
nurse, nursing, 2, steadfast, 2, assurance, 1, bringers, 1, fail, 1, nurse, fail would be with, like it said, remember the opposite,
yeah.
Nursed, stand, surely, trusted, trusty, all right? All in that sort of
they've brought family. That word right out.
And, yeah, all that.
And used all of these words to convey.
But I want you to look through all these references, find the earliest reference. So you're looking for something in Genesis. The first time this word was used, Genesis 42. Genesis there. Genesis 15,
Genesis
6. 15:6. First time this word is used is now.
Yeah. That's cool. Wow. That scripture, yeah. That's good.
That's so the very scripture we're looking at is the very first time that this word is used. Okay, the first time. Now I can't say that no one did it, but I'm saying the first time God said, "Someone believe me," is the first time God credited him as righteousness and then entered into covenant with him. This concept that this word brings is what God was looking for.
Yeah.
When he found a man that would do it, he entered into covenant with him.
That's okay? good. I like
so
that.
So Abraham is the man. And what has opened up the door? Abraham has believed him.
Mm.
That has released God to do it. Now, there was other things that Abraham did. He followed obediently. He got circumcised. He eventually offered up his son Isaac. And Lord said, I don't want your son. You don't have to do it. There's actually a ram. I'm making the provision. I just needed to get you, make sure, so I could advance what God's doing for you, and give you, you know, that you can go and look at those scriptures, find out what it was particularly that opened up to Abraham from those, or Abraham as he was then, into his promises. But at this moment, this key moment, Abraham believed God, which meant that Abraham saw that God was totally reliable and so relied upon him totally.
Yeah, that's good.
This made an exchange, and in that exchange, God did something. He put, and he said, whereas Abraham is not righteous, I'm giving him the credit as if he is righteous. And you say, how could he do that? Because you can't just sort of, you know, I'm just calling it to you, he's got to do it. But it's based on the faith that Abraham's seed, who God has promised and blessed, is going to make the provision, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus becomes a seed.
Oh, that's
Jesus
good.
Pays the penalty.
Yeah.
So that what Abraham has got credit to him is actually Jesus for you know, down the track. But how could God do that? How could anybody do that when it hadn't happened yet? Well, God is so reliable and God is so trustworthy, he can actually make promises based on the future. I can promise things, but I can't guarantee them, but he can because of his faithfulness.
Yeah,
who he
good.
Is, he's able to make that. So he caused Abraham Abraham was not righteous because of his own righteousness, but because he believed God. And because he believed God, even though he hadn't come into the full New Testament covenant yet, because when Jesus came to earth, he gets his disciples around and says, holds up the cup and says, this is the new covenant that I'm making in the world. And this is so exciting. It's like, yay, this is it. This is the moment. This is the moment I've been waiting for. But he starts with Abraham. He starts with Abraham.
That's good. Yeah, I like that.
And now, remember his plan. Sometimes you dive in, you forget what we're doing. This is exciting. Whoa, hang on. Where do we start? Revelation, what's he aiming for? Kingdom and priests.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, everybody, I remembered it. It's like, huh? Yeah, kingdom and priests. Ah, yes, that's right. You know, that's what the aim is.
Yeah.
Now he's got one man. He's got Abraham.
Mm.
All right? He's got one man. But his aim is from every nation and every tribe, every people group, to bring in people that would become kingdom and of priests. Mm. Kings and priests ruling. But he's got one man. Now, what can he do from one man? He can actually, he says, well, I can't, I'm not going to use it. I'm not talking about your Eliezer. What's his name? Eliezer of Damascus. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about from you. And he goes, then he has Ishmael. Says, not him. Now you made things messy. I didn't want you to have Ishmael. Now you've had Ishmael. Well, now we've got to send her away because we can't have them together. And that's going to cause problems that, you know, it shouldn't be too much of a problem, says Abraham.
Well.
Yeah, look down. Yeah, we're enjoying the difference now. And so he said, no, not that. You and Sarai.
Yes.
In fact, if you look at chapter 17, you know, because God changed their names to Abraham, which is the father of a multitude of nations, as opposed to exalted father. But Sarai, he also changed her name. And as for your wife, you must no longer call her Sarai. Sarah will be her name. I will bless her and I will give you a son through her. I will bless her and she will become a mother of nations. Kings of countries will come from her.
Mm.
It's all about royalty will come from her. You know,
that's good.
This is all the plan. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of what I've got for you. But he then has Abraham as Isaac, you know, it's not like a multitude straight away. We're going slowly through. Isaac has Jacob. He has Esau and Jacob, but Esau squanders his inheritance, his birthright. Jacob becomes the thing. Jacob has 12 sons and...
becomes Israel.
Those 12 sons become the tribes of Israel. And from that, then they began to grow and to develop. They're just, you know, but as 12 sons and their own families, they're taken into captivity in Egypt. But whilst they're in Egypt, they begin to grow.
Mm.
They begin to flourish. And Egypt actually becomes a bit concerned about their flourishing, tries to put a lid on it, tries to kill off their, kill them off. But they just keep flourishing. And in the end, God says, enough, let them go. I want them to go. And then you've got the whole process of the exodus out of Egypt and into the promised land. But by the time they come into the promised land, or they're leaving Egypt, going into the promised land, they're a nation.
Yeah.
They've grown, they're developed. All right, so I just want us to look at what has happened and what God is doing, because this, remember, kingdom and priests, this is where God's taking us. Look at Exodus 19. So in this moment, God explains what he's doing, which is always handy.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
It's nice when that happens, isn't it?
So, you know, they come out third month. They went out of the land of Egypt. They came to the desert of Sinai. They're traveling. They camp. Moses goes up and to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain. Thus you will tell the house of Jacob and declare to the people of Israel. This is what you're going to say. Let me actually just get it in my Bible. So. And now, Oh, so you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I lifted you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Okay, sometimes not to the promised land, not out of Egypt, but he's actually saying, I'm bringing you to me.
Yeah.
This is about you coming to me. And now, if you will diligently listen to me and keep my covenant, then you will be my special possession out of all the nations. All the earth is mine, but you're my special special possession. The King James did a wonderful thing. King James did an amazing thing. It says, now therefore you will obey my voice and indeed keep my covenant. Then you shall be a peculiar treasure. And using a word that doesn't mean peculiar today as it did back then.
Yeah, thinking that.
But peculiar. And so we're, for many years, people, saying we're a peculiar people. And it's like, yeah, well, that probably makes sense.
Is that like saying we're odd or...
Well, in today's terminology, peculiar just means weird and strange.
Yeah.
And, but you know what? Sometimes you look at the body of Christ and say, oh, yeah, that works.
I kind of know a few people that that's up to. Yeah. You know?
But that's not what it's talking about. That's not. And you actually get that if you look at the New King James, which kept to the King James as much as possible, they actually changed this word because they realized it had just changed from what it was understood when in 500 years ago till now. Now, therefore, if you obey New King James, then you shall be a special treasure to me. All right? Peculiar, special. So the New English Translation, you'll be my special possession, my own possession, New American. Holman's, my own possession, my own treasure, the Jewish Bible. King James, we looked at that. Peculiar. Living Bible. You shall be my own little flock from among all the nations.
Yep.
I think the Living Bible gets the you belong to me part, but not the treasure part.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's sort of it's my own little. Your New Living fixes that up. You'll be my own special treasure from among the people.
That's good.
My special treasure, Message Bible. Young's peculiar treasure. So it actually comes from this concept of that you've got a whole lot of stuff, but this is my special stuff.
This is the one I keep my eye on.
Yeah, this is the one. This is.
I don't let that one go out of my sight or get lost or put. I don't put it somewhere.
No, you always know where that is. You put that in a special spot. It's got a special place in your heart. It's just unique in its... So, out of all the nations, Abraham, because he believed God, and God was able to make covenant with him, created a people that became his special treasure. they're my special people. All people, they're all my people. All the earth's mine, but these are my special ones on the earth. All right? And... and this special people, just have a look at, you will be to me a kingdom of priests.
That's good.
Recognize something here.
Yes.
This is always his plan.
That's in Exodus.
That's in Exodus. So now it's like the Israelites were his special treasure. And what does he do? He makes them a kingdom of priests. Now this word kingdom of priests, it's... I might see if I can get the notes for this. It's probably buried in a few commentaries and stuff like that. This blend of kingdom and priest, it probably has a sense of royalty. You know, remember Sarai said your royalty will come from you. It's priesthood, but a priesthood that is connected with kings.
Yeah.
Because kingdom is where you don't have a kingdom without a king.
Yeah.
It's a place where kings are. You're going to have kings who are also got priests. So you can say, sometimes some translation might say kingdom and priests to try and set a kings and priests.
Yep.
But it's probably a blurred kingly priests.
Yeah.
All right.
King, that's good, yeah.
Royal priests who are royal. So they're ruling priests. It's a royal family that are priests.
Mm.
And now we know that when Israel came, not everyone could be priests and not everyone was a king. Because, you know, you had to be of the tribe of Aaron's descendants and it had to be a Levi.
Levi, yeah.
You couldn't be, unless you're a Levite, you couldn't be a priest.
Yeah.
But he said all of you are going to be priests. And they all couldn't all be kings because eventually they had to be of one line. It was Saul, but that got cut short, and then David.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to be a line, part of the tribe of Judah at least, and of David's line in order to be a king.
Yeah.
So there was, in the natural, there was only two strains that allowed you to be a king or a priest. And yet God said, my desire is for this special treasure to be to me a place where kings and priests minister to me. This is who you are.
Yeah,
this is what
you're
doing. This is my plan for you. I always want this. Now, when the practicality, I've got to set up some people as the priests, and they see what a priest's role is to represent man and God,
yeah.
to be between the two.
A mediator?
And yeah, it's between the two to represent, in the Old Testament, it's like, I take your sin, so I represent your sin with a sacrifice, then I represent God's forgiveness to you by proclaiming God's release for you. So I'm in between, all right? And so God wants us to be representing him to the world and bringing his life and peace. And
right.
kings, but ruling and reigning, so there's this authority. And, is that really what he wants? Yes, because we know in Revelation, that's what his aim is. Remember, that's what Jesus was. He was always aiming at this.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's narrowed to one group of people.
Mm.
Who? The people who believed through Abraham opened up a door that he then could minister this group, this special treasure, my own. And these are the words he will speak. So let's go across to Deuteronomy. So this is at the start of the Exodus. Deuteronomy is at the end of the Exodus. Deuteronomy, I think the word means dute to. Where you see the dute part, it means a second. It's the second speaking and giving of the law because all the first generation have died off. You know, that's 40 years been going around the wilderness. Now Moses is giving them the law again to the next generation ready to go in.
Mm.
Now we're at the other end, just before they go in. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7. We'll try and keep it in chronological. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. He has chosen you to be his people, prized above all others on the face of the earth. And this gives a little instruction here. It's not because you're more numerous than the other peoples. I'm not picking you because you're you're just amazing. The biggest and the strongest. And the Lord favored. It's not that reason the Lord favored and chose you. So you can understand this peculiar people. It's a chosen thing and it's a favored. It's got the favor of God upon us. In fact, you're the least numerous of all the peoples. I didn't pick you because you're so amazing. Rather, it's because of his love for you and his faithfulness to the promise he solemnly vowed to your ancestors that Yahweh brought you out with great power, redeeming you from the place of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So it was because of the covenant.
Yeah.
It was because your ancestors, actually go back to Abraham. It was because of Abraham. Not because you're amazing, because of him.
Thank Abraham.
And Abraham, why? Because Abraham believed God.
Yeah, that's good.
Abraham believed God. Something happened. God was able now to use that. And so now he said, you're this amazing group. All right, let's skip across to Deuteronomy 14. So are you keeping some of these things in your head? We should maybe make a list. Maybe you should make a list. Maybe you need to go back and make a list of some of these things. We're kingdom, we're priests, actually, why don't we do that? I just sort of like, the Lord's like, yeah, tell him to do it. All right, let's do this.
Well, you haven't actually been drawing on regularly quite a while. Bring it back.
Let's bring it back. Special treasure. Kingdom. Kings, royalty.
Can I just make a comment that will not it'll probably get you off this train of thought. So hold that thought. But I'm just remembering the word peculiar. And I remember you recall you doing peculiar drawings of me when my left leg was bigger than my right leg.
Yeah, my writing is quite peculiar. My drawings are peculiar.
So. That added no value. I'm sorry, but I couldn't go on until I said that. But.
So yes, yeah, so take my right. Can tell me if you can read my writing. On the screen. Someone say, do I need to slow down, write a little bit clearer?
Well, you were trying to read your writing last week or the week before.
Yeah, in my Bible, though.
From like a time ago.
Special treasure, which meant they were kingdom, royalty, priests. Mm. It's connected to the covenant. So we'll build up with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll put one to, it's to God. You know, he said, I brought you out, I brought you out to myself.
Yeah.
All right? It's ultimately to him.
Mm. That's good, yeah.
All right? And we can, maybe I should list the scriptures. So you got Exodus 19, 4 to 6. We've gone to Deuteronomy 7, 6 to 8. Now we've gone to Deuteronomy 14, and then one and two. All right, so let's go to Deuteronomy 14. Josh, just check the comments to see if people say, I can read that, or is that? Why is he eating in Hebrew? Why is he writing in Hebrew?
Let us know if you're one of the people that can read it or not read it. I know there's gonna be both of you, so.
You're a children of the Lord. Okay, so now we have another thing. Kingdom, special treasure, kingdom, priest, covenant to God, children.
Mm, that's good.
It's a reflect. You can see all this in the New Testament covenant. This is why you want to be referred to as children.
Most definitely. Pastor Christine says most definitely.
Well, if Christine can read it, it's good. All right, that's good. If I'm clear enough... That's good to know. Okay, you think verse 1, you think, what in the world has this got to do with? You are children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave your forehead bald for the sake of the dead. What? What's this verse got to do with anything?
Where'd that come from?
Where'd this come from?
Oh, well, Judith is being nice. I can read your writing.
Okay, that's good. That gives me confidence. We'll forge ahead with that. So don't cut yourselves or shave your forehead bald for the sake of the dead. Not exactly clear. I have sort of tried to do a bit of research. They just understand what it meant without fully understanding the rituals that it was talking about, because there's a lot of stuff that happened that the actual background hasn't brought forth.
Yeah.
But basically what it was is you don't do what the other nations are doing, all right? And in the way they were treating the dead, and which was connected with idolatry and connected with things which are not of God.
Yeah.
Don't do what they're doing.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Effectively, and don't go when someone's dead. They would shave a part of their head. They would have a certain ceremony. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do what the other nations are doing. Mm. Don't do what the idolaters are doing.
Mm.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
All right. You're my children.
Yeah.
My children don't do that.
You act differently.
You act differently. All right. So because verse 2. Verse 2. Hold on, do that. I'll try and charge up my pencil.
Just telling the pencil is draining. Brooks had 26 years
experience reading that writing,
so she's well versed in it, adept.
Yeah, that doesn't give me confidence for anyone else. It says, "You are a chosen people. Sorry, people holy to the Lord your God. He has chosen you to be His people, prized above all others on the face of the earth."
Mm.
Same sort of concept.
Yeah,
it's the same wording, same Hebrew. Yeah. He's chosen to be His people, prized above all others on the face of the earth. He just says, "You're amazing." So basically, special treasure. Prized. He just meditate and think. This is my people. They're my people. They're my people.
Mm. Don't touch them. They're my
people. Don't touch them. My people. But as part of that, so it's continue on the special treasure. Part of that is don't be like the heathens. I'm pretty much, yeah, heathens.
Yep.
Which is the, or the idolaters slash
the godless people.
Don't be like those who do those things. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. All right, let's go to the next passage. It is Deuteronomy 26, verse 18 to 19. Deuteronomy. I'll get some more charging. Okay. Today. And the Lord has today declared you to be what? His special people.
Mm.
As he already promised you. Just reminding you, you're his special treasure. As he has already promised you, so you may keep all his commandments.
Yep.
All right, so you're special, so do the stuff that he wants as part of the covenant.
Yeah.
Now look at verse 19. Then he will elevate you above all the nations.
Mm.
He has made, all the other nations he has made, and you will receive praise, fame, and honor. You will be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he has said.
Mm.
Right, so let's he's like, now he's describing what it looks like to be, because at the moment it's like, oh, we're a special treasure.
What does that mean?
Cool. I'm his special treasure. Thank you. Yes, yeah, so what does that mean to be his special treasure? Now I'm going to have to go back to the notes, so you got to remember these. So we've got to look, today the Lord has declared you to be a special people, as he already promised, so you may keep all his commandments. Well, okay, let's write that in. Don't be like the other herd. Keep all. Why did he want them to keep the commandments? So they could stay, be a special people and not mess it up.
Yeah.
Then he will elevate you above all the nations. Let's actually just bring this into some other translation.
Because
mm-hmm. The New American says he will set you high above all the nations. He will mm-hmm. elevate you. He'll raise you high above all the nations. So how do you want to describe that? We go raised above all other nations.
Mm.
Woohoo! He's like, yeah, I'm gonna.
It's a special place.
Special treasure means up above.
Yeah.
All right. So what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, you'll receive praise, fame, and honor.
Mm. That's very, very specific.
Yeah, so you're going to get praise, fame, and honor. So God really wants you to be elevated and to be recognized.
Yeah.
The word fame, it's one of the other ways that the word is connected is the word name.
Because that's not just them being famous. That's them famous in relation connected to God.
Yeah, they're going to get a reputation of God's being blessed.
God's people. Children. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get a people. You're going to get a name.
So it's very connected with that. It's not just a separate. You're going to be an influencer.
Yeah, the word honor and the Hebrew word is sort of connected to the word beauty.
Mm.
It's got that. You're amazing. Beautiful. You're honorable. You're special. All right. So Deuteronomy 26 is like, wow, that's and that you shall be, you'll be people holy to the Lord your God, as you said. Or New American says, you shall be a consecrated people.
Yep.
Well, do we go to another page? Let's do it. Dot, 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 dot. Holy, consecrated, which means God's got special plans for you. He wants you to live so he can fulfill that.
Mm.
Okay, so we're at Deuteronomy.
Live in a particular way.
Yeah, so that you can, because you're priests.
Yeah.
Priests couldn't do everything that everyone else did. Mm. Kings couldn't do everything that everyone else did because they had responsibilities, and priests had to represent God. They had to stay. Now, in the Old Testament, that would be reflected by you know, washings and wearing certain robes and things like that. In the new covenant, it becomes about hard attitudes of mind and speech and things like that. So we're not like everybody else because we are special. We're a peculiar people. You know, that's probably where, you know. Okay, is there a chapter in Deuteronomy 20s, you know, that is a well-known chapter, especially people, I grew up in this as a word with the word of faith and with Brother Copeland. In fact, they had a song about this chapter when I was growing up. It was the thing. I'd go to Kenneth Copeland conference, and I think it was Len Mink would sing a song. He wrote a song, if I remember, about this chapter. We're at 26. We're almost there. Is there a chapter that anyone can think of that is like the chapter that talks about stuff that we that is spoken of a lot in Word of Faith circles and the blessing circles? It's anyone. I'm gonna have to, because we've got a bit of delay, and then when people time they type, that takes a little bit of time to get. So it's not instantaneous. This is one of the difficult. I in class you can ask a question and people straight away give an answer. In here you ask a question and you got to, come on, Deuteronomy. We're up to chapter 26.
I'm only thinking about the blessing.
Yeah. Do you know what chapter that is?
I thought it was 26, but I'm not.
No, it's not Deuteronomy 26. It's close. But you're thinking about the right chapter. But it's not Deuteronomy 26.
Okay. 20. How many chapters are in Deuteronomy?
Well, it's. I'll give you a clue.
Because I was thinking 20, and I'm like, does it go up to 28?
Yeah. So Chris,
if I'm close to 26, that's
Christine 28. Put in 28. So we know we're back live. Yeah. And for people listening, 28. Deuteronomy 28. So we are at the end of chapter 26.
Mm-hmm.
We just skip over a little bit to chapter 28 and. We just skip over a little section which is really important, which is Paul.
Just a reminder to be charging that's going to keep coming up.
The chapter 27 covers the need, it has a key verse from Galatians 3:10 that Paul quotes, the fact that people are cursed if they don't do what God wants, and we have to do everything, and if we don't do everything, we're cursed. And it's like, oh, that's a bit of a problem. But he just that's gospel there, because it doesn't matter what we do, we've got the curse on us because we have failed in something.
Mm.
And therefore, that's why Jesus needs, you know, we're never going to be good enough. Jesus does this.
Yeah.
All right. So 27 sort of covers that aspect. But 28, so we almost go from chapter 26. We're almost in chapter 28. I say this. Yes, you did get a prize. Oh, Brooke said 28, but she was just behind Pastor Christine.
28. That's what you just did, Brooke.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah, you got there, Brooke.
She knew.
Good effort.
Brooke knew.
You get
the prize is you were the first to call out 28.
Yeah.
Well done.
So, do we get a prize? Yes.
You get acknowledgement.
So, what I'm saying is Deuteronomy 28 is very familiar to us.
Yeah.
But Deuteronomy 26 is what was spoken just before heading into 28.
Yeah,
and often we don't make that connection. There's a reason I'm talking about this. Remember what? So let's go back before we read chapter 28. Let's just read 26. And today the Lord has declared you to be His special people, as He already promised you, so you may keep all His commandments. Then He will elevate you above all the nations. He has made you, all the nations He has made, and you will receive praise, fame, honor. You will be a people holy to the Lord your God, as He has said.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just want to skip across to chapter 28. If you indeed obey the Lord your God and are careful to observe all His commandments, because He didn't tell us, that's what He told us to do.
Yeah.
I am giving you today, or the commandments I'm giving you, the Lord your God will elevate you above all the nations of the earth. Where have you just heard that?
He'll do what he said, 26.
Yeah, so he's like, this is connected to 26.
Yeah.
He's saying, I told you you're my special treasure, I'm going to elevate you, and if you obey my commandments, that's will enable me to do this.
Yeah.
All right? And so, what will it look like to be elevated? What will it look like to be His special treasure?
Mm.
What does God... can you explain it to me, please, God? Well, I talk about you be praised, fame, and honored, and beauty... I'll explain it a bit more. All these blessings will come to you in abundance if you obey the Lord your God. So what he's saying, this is my desire to make you my special treasure. This is what it'll look like. You just need to obey me so that you can stay in this.
Yeah.
And this is what it will look like. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field.
Mm.
What does it mean to be His special treasure? just blessed wherever we are.
Blessed wherever you go.
Your children will be blessed, as well as the produce of your soil, the offspring of your livestock, the calves of your herds and lambs of your flocks, your basket and your mixing bowl will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come out and blessed when you go. All these things. This is what peculiar people look like.
Yeah.
Blessed. This is a special treasure of kingdom, of priests and kings. Blessed. Mm. This is what they look like.
Yeah.
This is what they look like. But what is their role? To be priests and kings to him.
Yes.
All right.
Good.
This is the blessings he puts on us so that we can fulfill and be what God's called us to be. The Lord will cause your enemies who attack you to be struck down before you. They will attack you from one direction, but flee from you in seven different directions. The Lord will decree blessing for you and with respect to your barns and everything you do. Yes, he will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will designate you as his holy people. Just as he promised you. Did you see this?
That holy, yeah.
The Lord will designate you as his holy people, just as he promised you, if you keep his commandments and obey him. So the difficulty for God is because he's got to deal with the Israelites, and whereas the new covenant is dealt with through the mediator.
Yeah.
Now our requirement is to stay in Jesus and to be seeking to please him,
yeah,
and to do everything you can to follow him and obey him. But now it's through Jesus. But this is the same thing. I just want you to be in a place where I can make you my special. I love you guys, and I want to elevate you.
Yeah.
I want to bless you.
That's good.
Then all the peoples of the earth will see that you belong to the Lord, and they'll respect you.
Yep.
Doesn't that sound like what he said? You know, you'll receive praise and fame and honor.
Praise, respect, honor, yep.
The Lord will greatly multiply your children, the offspring of your livestock, the produce of your soil, and the land which he promised your ancestors he would give you. And the Lord will open for you his good treasure house, the heavens, to give you rain for the land in its season and bless you all you do. And you will lend to many nations, but you'll not borrow from any.
Mm.
The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You're my nations, I'm going to make you the top. I'm going to raise you up. You're going to be my special people.
Yeah.
You will always end at the top and not at the bottom if you obey his commandments, which I'm urging you today to be careful to do. But you must not turn away from all the commandments I'm giving you today to either the right or left, nor pursue other gods and worship them. And that was the issue. It's like, no, you've got to stay true to this because I'm trying to lift you up. And if you're trying to do that, then you're undo this.
Was that in connection with the don't do as the other nations,
yes,
the idolaters?
Yeah. Exactly. Don't be like them. Don't go and follow them. Don't look.
You got to act a particular way.
Don't try and make their gods happy.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say blessed. See Deuteronomy 28. I'll go back. So we've got Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14, which is the blessings. That's all but don't do this. If you don't, here's these curses. That's not his plan.
Yeah.
His plan is... Now, let me ask you this, Josh. This is what we're leading to a little bit here. Was his plan to make us blessed? Yes, it was. But his plan was actually to make us his special treasure of kingdom and priest and to raise us up. And to do that, he would then make us blessed.
Mm.
So the purpose was, the blessing was the flow-on effect from his plan of a special people that would be his kingly priests.
Yes.
That's the aim.
Yeah.
That's where he's heading for. And the blessings just go with that.
They go with that, yeah.
All
good.
Right, so that's good. So let's do a couple of other scriptures here.
I just read the comment book said, I'd still like a participation award. Well done.
Yeah, well done. You did good.
And you know what? If you didn't comment, and you also get that if you thought something in your head.
I'll just run through. I'll give you three more scriptures, but I'll try and keep them in order. But they're just more confirming what we've just said. So I don't think. 1 Kings 8:53.
Well, for anyone who wants or needs more confirmation,
this is
for you.
Yeah, just
that's good.
This is just
good.
I'm in the wrong spot. That's not Kings.
Pastor Christine thinks that our award system is flawed. I'm not. I don't really see it. I'm not really being too generous with my words or my praise for people.
Yeah. Those people who said 28, and especially the person who said it first, are just the most amazing people in this world, all right? And I actually, I think they're
well wonderful. Done, Brooke. You really participated in this, and you got the correct answer as well.
1 Kings 8:53 says, "After all, you picked them out of all the nations of the earth to be your special possession, just as you, O Sovereign Lord, announced through your servant Moses when you brought out our ancestors out of Egypt." So it's just like they're talking about this still. You this is what you said and did for them. So I should write that in. 1 Kings 8:53. I'm going to run out of room here for the scriptures. All right, that's all right. Psalm 135, verse 4. "Indeed, Yahweh, the Lord, has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel, to be his special possession." So just reaffirming that. Psalm 135, verse 4, and Malachi 3:17. Right at the end.
Going further along now. Right.
"They will belong to me, says the Lord of armies, heavens, in the day when I prepare my own special property. I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves me." It just speaks about that special belong and that special place. Mm. All right, so just as a reference to that sort of word and that phrase. Okay, so Malachi, I'm going to do it. This is on there, 3:7.
And as we touched on before, that's right at the end.
of the Old Testament, exactly.
So that's pretty cool still. Yeah. Just while you're looking at that, Pastor Christian's also touched on, Josh, words of affirmation, definitely your love language. I'm working on it. Maybe not, but you know, that's what I'm saying.
I just saw my margin notes here that I've written. In Malachi 3:17, if I look at the New English Translation notes for that, the Hebrew word segala, which is this special treasure, is a technical term referring to all the recipients of God's redemptive grace and especially Israel. And here, look, Exodus 19:5, Deuteronomy. The Lord says here that he will not forget even one individual on the day of judgment and reward.
Yeah,
all right, so it's actually for whatever reason, they choose Malachi to make a special note of that Hebrew word. All right, so there it is, segala. All right, so I just want to show you one other indication of how God likes to treat his people. He's special when they're his people. He looks after them and he wants to make them special.
Yeah.
He wants to raise them up. Okay, and we're going to go to Ezekiel. Didn't write it down. Anyway, I can find it. Book of Ezekiel 16. This is it's an amazing part of the Bible, and I'm amazed. I actually I haven't really heard hardly any. I can't remember anyone teaching on this. Is what I'm saying on Ezekiel, but it captures some amazing truths.
Yeah.
And about this sort of special treasure sort of concept, and its love, and it's sort of really.
Well, that could be some homework for people if you want.
Yeah.
Rick, go through the book of Ezekiel.
Yeah. So Ezekiel 16 and 17, it's referring, it's writing to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem, the city.
Yeah.
And it sort of has overlap, obviously, to the Israelites, but it's sort of God speaking to Jerusalem, this place, because it's a special place.
Mm.
And God came and said, because Jerusalem didn't belong to the Israelites. They didn't create Jerusalem. It was already existing.
Yeah.
And God took a city that was existing and made it his and blessed it and made it a place. You know, when you think of Solomon and the blessing. So from God's point of view, he's sort of saying, I came and found this city, which was an absolute mess. It was not, because it was idolatrous. It was not doing well. And I saw this city and said, you know, I'm going to make this city my city.
Mm.
I'm going to look after it. So it's sort of this. So what I want you to sort of see is what God, what what's in God's heart when he gets someone and makes it special? All right, so I'm not saying actually these verses all have direct correlation to Israelites or us, but they do have overlap because it's God. God takes them out.
Yes.
And he says, oh, this is what I do when I get hold of someone. This is the sort of thing, because Jerusalem, as you think now, you know, where's Jesus going to come back when he comes back? Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Jerusalem. You know, it's, you know, even people sing about it every year at Christmas. Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
It's a, why Jerusalem? Because he put his hand on it.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to use
the
it.
The Holy City.
And so it's a bit, I'm trying to put this because when God talks about it, it's a little bit, if you're not sort of understanding, is it Israel he's talking about, whatever.
Mm.
If you're not understanding, it's the city of Jerusalem, who was just a heathen city.
Yeah.
It doesn't sort of make sense a little bit. But what the point, what I want you to do, what I want you to capture is, when God gets them, gets something and makes it his own, look what he does for them.
That's all great. Right?
So the Lord's message came to me, son of man, confront Jerusalem with her abominable practices. Because Ezekiel is prophesying to a time when the people, the Israelites, were not doing the right thing in Jerusalem.
Mm.
They were idolatrous. They were doing terrible things. So this amazing city, which he had brought to himself as a special treasure, effectively, they're like...
spoiled.
Yeah, this is terrible. This is awful what they're doing down there. Mm. Like, so he says, confront them with this. He said, this is what the sovereign Lord says to Jerusalem. Your origin and your birth were in the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. He said, you're heathens. This is sort of interesting. He said, the history of what happened here, where they came from and the connection God saw, when they were invaded, I just see like the Amorites coming or the Hittites coming. These names I know are names from the times, but I don't see them as individual people that have got a history.
Yeah.
Because it's all blurred.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't, when he says the Amorites are Hittites, he could say either one and I wouldn't know any difference. But to me, you know, I'd be like, oh, Jerusalem and China. I'm sorry, to us. I'm sorry, New Zealand and China. Well, they're really different places. And, you know, and I wouldn't get them mixed up at all.
No. You hope not.
You know, like if someone was saying China's going to do this and New Zealand's going to do this, well, they're totally different people and we've got totally different relationship with them. We've got a very different history. And the trouble is that, you know, when it mentions Amorites and Hittites, I just don't know that as a connection point.
Yeah.
All right. But what he's saying is your beginnings started with these two peoples. When they would return to idolatry, if the Amorites invaded them and the Hittites invaded them, that's because they'd open the door for the old things to come back.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
Okay, so, and because they were doing things, and it refers to blood and virginity and things like that, as it talks very graphically here, so my apologies for it, but God did it, not me. That's why blood was shed by the Amorites and the Hittites, because of their response and what they'd returned to, and their idolatry had opened the door to this stuff that God had fixed them from, but they'd brought them back in.
Yeah.
And that's why, so the legal sort of connections, whereas we just think, oh, they were invaded by the Amorites.
Or they made a way for all that to come.
Yeah, this is all because they messed things up. So whereas I just see them, I don't see the connections. God's like, there's very real connections.
Yeah.
Why these particular things happen. So there's no super kids on today, I trust. It's a bit graphic what this is, all right? So we'll just go with it. So your father was an Amorite and your mother is a Hittite. So it talks about a baby. Like Jerusalem's like a baby that's been born. And as for your birth, on the day you were born, your umbilical cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water. You were certainly not rubbed down with salt, nor wrapped with blankets. In other words, you got born, but no one cared for you. No one really wanted you.
Yeah.
You're just a nothing. You were a nothing, Jerusalem. No eye took pity on you to do even one of these things for you to spare you. You were thrown out into the open field because you were detested on the day you were born. No one wanted Jerusalem, but I passed by and I saw you, says the Lord. So, kicking around helplessly in your blood. So that's why, you know, there's references to the birth blood, there's blood. I said to you, as you lay there in your blood, live.
Mm.
I said to you, as you lay there in your blood, live. Mm. Just good. He's like, I'm going to do something with you. I'm going to make something of you.
Yeah.
You're a nothing. You're, no one wants you. No one cares about you. Live.
Live.
I'm speaking
That's
to you.
That's powerful.
And this is just sort of my interpret understanding. When they went back into idolatry, they pushed away God and pushed themselves back into this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were in blood, talking about like their birth blood, natural blood came upon them.
Yeah.
And in through their... They pushed away God and brought themselves back into the situation where this Hittites, Amorites and blood were once again...
They changed like where they were connected with...
So I made, so God says, so it's a female baby, all right, from God's point of view, a little baby girl. And she's all messed up and no one's taking care of her. And he says, no, I've come. And I'm saying, live. I'm gonna live. I made you plentiful like sprouts in a field. You grew tall and came of age so that you could wear jewelry. Your breasts had formed and your hair had grown, but you were still naked and bare. So you become a young woman. You're now old enough, you know, to enter into marriage sort of relationships. Putting it nicely. Then I passed by you and watched you, noticing you had reached the age for love. I spread my cloak over you and covered your nakedness. I swore a solemn oath to you and entered into a marriage covenant with you, declares the Sovereign Lord, and you became mine.
Mm.
So Jerusalem, no one wanted you.
Yeah.
You're, and now you're vulnerable. The enemy will take you. The idols would abuse you. But no, I'm going to cover you.
Yeah, that's good.
You're mine. Then I bathed you in water, washed the blood off you, and anointed you with fragrant oil. I dressed you. Now, I want you to listen to this. When God gets hold of someone, listen to what he does. All right? This is his. Now you're mine.
Yeah.
This is mine.
That's good.
I dressed you in embroidered clothing. Put fine leather sandals on your feet. And actually, the word there is porpoise skin. Sandals are porpoise skin. That talks about luxury leather. Louis Vuitton
there
shoes.
There you go.
All right?
You're this is educators.
Yeah, right? God says, I put on you...
The best.
The finest. The finest shoes. On your feet. I wrapped you with fine linen, covered you with silk. I adorned you with jewelry. I put bracelets on your hands, a necklace around your neck. I put a ring in your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Crown on your head.
Mm.
Priests and kings. I made you, I put you into royal status.
Yeah.
I made you a princess.
Wow.
I made you a queen. I established you, gave you, you were adorned with gold and silver while your clothing was of fine linen, silk and embroidery. You ate the finest flour, honey and olive oil. You ate the best food. All right? Josh, that's worth a fist pump.
Yes.
You became extremely beautiful and attained the position of royalty. That's what God, he raises them up.
That's what he does when he takes someone.
Yeah. So this is not in a direct correlation. This is why I point out it's Jerusalem, because it's not us. Our covenant is through Abraham.
Mm.
All right?
Yeah.
This is a covenant he's made with Jerusalem, the city, to bring them into a place where his people could prosper
and
do
well.
Yeah, that's good. All right? Your fame spread among the nations.
Fame.
Because of your beauty.
Yes.
Beauty. That was honor, remember? Honor, beauty, fame, beauty. Your honor, your beauty was perfect because of the splendor which I bestowed on you, declares the Lord. You're beautiful because God just does wonderful things in you.
Yeah.
We're just a beautiful people.
Mm.
But, this is, I'm sorry, this is where it goes down here. You trusted in your beauty, capitalized on your fame by becoming a prostitute. You offered your sexual favors to every man who passed by so that your beauty became his. You took some of your clothing and made for yourself decorated high places. You engaged in prostitution on them. You went to him to become his. You took your beautiful jewelry made of my gold and my silver I had given to you and made for yourself male images, engaged in prostitution with, made idols of them, effectively. You took your embroidered clothing and used it to cover them. In other words, all the things I've given you, you didn't have, you used in your idolatry.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, you're even worse than a prostitute, because a prostitute will charge for their services. You pay for your services. You're
really taking it to the next level.
Yeah, and chapter 16 is just basically verse 38. This is what I was sort of referring to. You know, it just goes bad down. You're covered in your prostitution with your lovers, and because of all your detestable idols, because of the blood of the children you've given to them, they were actually sacrificing children now. Therefore, take note, I am about to gather all your lovers whom you enjoyed, both those who you loved and all those you hated. I will gather them against you from all around. I will expose your nakedness and they will see your nakedness. I will punish you as an adulteress and murderer as an adulteress and murderer deserves. I will avenge your bloody deeds with furious rage. So the nations which she was prostituting herself will now become the ones that come and bring the punishment. The fact that she had been spilling blood had gone back to those bloody sort of situations. Would now mean blood is going to be shed in there. So it's quite confronting.
Yeah.
But it's talking about Jerusalem. And I'm not talking about the judgment side. But God was explaining, when I get hold of someone, when I grab them and I raise them up, beautiful clothes, beautiful place, beautiful shoes, the best food, I make them blessed.
Yeah.
And I cause them to be a blessing that other people can comment on that blessing and say, oh, I want to be like, you know, you guys.
Take note of.
You guys are blessed. You guys, you know, you want to get to the point where people say, oh, I want to be like you. You know what I mean?
I knew there was something different about you.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's special. You know, there's something that is attractive. You know, it's like, I think I told you the story when Jay and I were in waiting to get x-rays done.
Yeah.
And there was a woman in the waiting room of the hospital, and she was in a wheelchair and in a pretty bad way, and she was, and I just started talking to her, and in the end she's like, she actually said to me, she said, you've got something special, you two, there's something special, you know, the way you're communicating and then something. And I said, oh, that's really good, you know. And then I started to talk to her. And then I said, you know, eventually, it's like, and I can't remember the conversation now, but I said, can I pray for you? She goes, I knew it. I could see something on you.
That's awesome.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
She goes, now, she said, like, you're glowing.
Yeah.
And she says, now I understand why. You know,
that's good.
And so we went and had prayer with her. And she'd come in because she'd tried to fix something in her ear and had managed to wedge something inside her ear that she couldn't get out, and she was very distressed and very upset, and she's like, I don't know what to do. We just had prayer. She came out and she just looked at me and said, they went to find it and it had gone. She said, it's gone. It's gone.
That's awesome.
She said it was gone before they're looking and they're, no, it's already gone. And she said, no one's taken it out, but it's gone. Praise God. Well, it's gone. But she was like, there was that sort of something. And that's what, you know, that's God's plan. That's God's design and purpose for us. The blessing isn't the purpose. What is the purpose? Priests and kings. To minister to the Lord and to rule and to be his people.
Yeah.
And to do it in a way that blesses him. And then he would just pour out everything. You look at all those blessings, do you know? He pours it into our lives.
Follows.
But the purpose of those is to enable us to live a life that's blessing him.
Yeah.
The worst thing we can do is take all those blessings and then absorb it and then turn to our own lusts and desires and take the blessings and then pour it into just us and this world and the zeitgeist of this world. You know, because we don't have idols. We say, oh, we don't do idolatry. You know, I've got no idols in my home. No, we have idols of the heart of greed and lust. We got idols that are connected. That's really what idolatry is. It's heart attitude.
Yeah.
And I think I might have mentioned this last week, or, you know, like, say, well, we're not doing what they did, you know, child sacrifice, wouldn't do that. And yet, people look at the numbers for unborn children that are killed every year in Australia. Forget the American numbers. My understanding is like 100,000 a year in Australia killed. in the idolatry practice of pleasure and convenience.
Mm.
We're loving ourselves and our lifestyle. We don't want a child to mess it up.
Mm.
We don't want a child to get in the way.
Yeah.
We don't want the inconvenience of caring. And if that baby's maybe a little bit irregular, definitely don't want to have to look after that.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of it. You know? And I'm not trying to be, I'm sorry, I know there's people who've been through this, and it's a very painful thing, and I just really trust that you've connect with your church to get healing and wholeness in this, and release and forgiveness. Mm. We have a God. Thank God our covenant is through Jesus, who is our perfect mediator.
That's so good.
Because
yeah.
when we mess up, it doesn't matter whether it's small or huge, it doesn't matter. He's able to restore and hold us. But what I'm saying is, we would be fools to say idolatry is not a problem in our current situation, because we don't have any idols.
Yeah.
We have idols that are just not physical, that we sit on our mantelpiece. They're idols that often we sit in a box in the corner of our room, or we put up on the wall and we watch it for 37 hours. Or now we carry our idolatrous practices around with us in our hands, and we absorb and we look and we engross ourselves in things that are it's just not what God wants. And we say, oh, but we don't have an idol. But, you know, it's all about my self and pleasure and whatever. So God's plan is to bless us,
mm.
to be kings and priests.
Yeah, that's good.
This was always his purpose, always his plan, and this is what he's designed. And you say, well, that's good for the Old Testament. No, this was what New Testament. Can we go back to where we start? It's often great when we go through right around the circuit.
Yeah.
And you come back. In fact, I should write these scriptures because I didn't. I'm going to write them here. Because that's what I do. Revelation 1:6 and 3:10, I think it is, but I'll check. No, not 3. 5:9 and 10. Okay, Revelation 1:6 and 5:9 to 10. Yeah, there it is. There. Just get over it. It'll work for you. Okay. And he has from Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to the one who loves us and has set us free from our sins at the cost of his own blood, and has appointed us, not will,
has
appointed us as a kingdom, as priests serving his God and Father. Him be the glory and power forever and ever.
Mm.
This is what we have come into now. The manifestation of it will have, yes, a future sort of mode, but it's now, here on earth, ministering to him in a royal way. And while we're here, the blessing and his favor is on us. And that's why, praise God, no longer is it just Israel, the seed who could turn to the physical father of Abraham, but to us, who's the seed of Abraham,
connected, that's good.
And we can declare, according to Romans 4, he's our father, father of the faith, because we're of the same faith that as Abraham has. We are now a part of the same connection. And the same thing that God did to him is now happened to us in Jesus. And we are now his peculiar people. We are his prized people. We are his special treasure. We are his people
on this earth.
And in the book of Philippians, it talks about this using the language of Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we also await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're connected. We're a people that have a connection with God.
Yeah, that's good.
And he's raised us up. We're his ambassadors, of course, 2 Corinthians 5. We're his ambassadors here on earth. We're representing him. We're his special treasure. Why? To be priests, a royal priesthood, serving and ministering that to him. That's the bigger plan. That's who you are. You say, oh, wow.
That's what the mirror says.
That's what the mirror says. That's what the mirror says. It's always his plan. It was always his purpose. That's why he's called us to do that. And go back to the fact that, you know, kingdom, priest, covenant, we're called to God. And we're his children. We're his prized possession. It all sounds very much like what we are.
Yeah.
We don't be like the heathens and the idols. Keep all his commands. We're raised above all the other nations for his praise. For our praise, fame, and honor.
Mm.
And we're to be wholly consecrated, and we live in the blessings. So all those blessings of Deuteronomy 28, we go and say that's him describing us. That's what God's wanting us to do.
That's
be raised and anointed in that. That's his provision and his grace for us. Hallelujah. So that was our mirror for today. The plan that God for a prized people.
That's a so
treasure,
cool.
Special treasure.
That's very
us.
Cool. That's so
that's
cool.
You. That's me. That's what God's called us to do.
Yeah.
And he wants to bless and he just, and when God gets hold of someone, he doesn't want to just say, oh well, you know, just whatever. You know, I want to bless him. I want to
put all
those,
life to those clothes and the nice jewelry.
Yeah.
All those descriptive things that were said.
Yeah, that's his. He wants your children to be blessed. He wants your work to be blessed. He wants your lifestyle to be blessed. He wants it all to be.
It affects and impacts everything.
Yeah.
In your, like, I don't know, ecosystem or your sphere of influence.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Everywhere you are, and for what purpose? So that you can just absorb them and use them? No. So we can be a blessing.
Yeah.
And so we can minister to the Lord, and we can be His priesthood, and is use that. And so you know. Sadly, there's people that have been blessed to the Lord, and the blessing has been something that has distracted them or take them off the path because they've become enamored by the blessing as opposed to we've been brought to God Himself. Mm. So some people say, well, I won't receive any blessing, so it doesn't take me away. You know, that's a sad. That's not what God wants.
No.
He wants us to be blessed, but He just wants us to use it for His blessing.
Yeah, and He's freely given it.
Yeah. You know, there was someone I heard many years ago who was, I won't go there because I don't have the freedom to say it. So that's good. Blessing to, blessed to be a blessing. And I thank God I will leave. I know I've got 3 pages of scriptures, 3 pages of notes, but there's the scriptures there. I'll just leave those up for a little bit. Get out of the way of them so that you can see them. Take a screenshot and do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
But Deuteronomy 7, it starts up here. I forgot. Exodus 19, 4 to 6, Deuteronomy 7, 6 to 8, Deuteronomy 14, 1 to 2, Deuteronomy 26, 18 to 19, Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14, then 1 Kings 8:53, Psalm 135, verse 4, and Malachi 3:7, and right back where we started, Revelation 1:6, and then chapter 5, 9 to 10. Okay, they're the references for today. I will type them up and put them in the notes, but I trust that has been a help to you.
Mm.
Bless you all. I'll go and type them up for you so you can, you don't have to sort of try and read my writing. Appreciate your comments, appreciate your encouragement along the way. We have been watching the notes. Amazing. Yeah, thank you, Judith, Christine. Blessed to be a blessing to others. Amen. And Brooke, this has been so powerful. Thank you, Brooke. That is encouraging.
Yeah.
And we've been encouraged by it and strengthened by it ourselves. So, all right. Bless you. I'll just put it on a couple of minutes from our intro video so that you can finish off with any comments. We'll be here. We'll monitor any comments, but be blessed, and we'll see you next Friday.